9:15 on the Chip Franklin Show. Michael Bednarik is our guest. Michael, is it just me that noticed the irony at the end of the campaign season is punctuated by people knocking at our door asking us to give more and more again, albeit on Halloween? It seems to me that America, you know, the economic side of this that attracts conservatives of your platform, economic freedom, that when our enemies are economically strong, they cease to become our enemies, seems to be maybe that's a very simplified version of the formula. But it, I mean, you know, it's follow the money seems to be the real reason for discourse and war around the world.
Absolutely. Anytime we have open trade with other countries, they are far less likely to attack us.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you just don't go to war with somebody who's helping provide, you know, food and cell phones. So it is in our best interest to have free markets, because not only does it reduce the threat of terrorism, but it improves our own economy and raises our standard of living.
On a practical level, though, what's going on in Iraq, when we pulled our support from the Shiites after the 91 war, 100,000 of them were slaughtered. The same would probably happen if we left right now. How would a libertarian candidate deal with what's going on there?
Well, going to Iraq was a mistake, and staying in Iraq is, you know, a way to compound that mistake. More we bomb buildings and kill innocent civilians, the more those people are going to hate us, and the more threat of terrorism we're going to face. And so, I mean, we have two other choices. We can go in and we can kill everybody in Iraq, and then we could legally say that nobody in Iraq hates us, but everyone else in the rest of the world would be, you know, far more concerned. So that only leaves one option, that is to bring our sons and daughters home as safely and quickly as possible.
Well, there's the caveat right there, though. I mean, bringing them home and leaving behind the legacy of our involvement is dangerous to the rest of the world. I mean, don't we have any responsibility as the only superpower?
No, I don't believe that we have a responsibility. The Constitution is for the United States. The President of the United States is supposed to protect the lives, liberty, and property of Americans. There are trouble spots all over the world, and we don't have enough people, enough resources to go out and solve all of the problems in the world. You know, we are very conscious that there are, you know, trouble spots, but I mean, there are places in the world that are more dangerous than Iraq, and we don't have soldiers there. We can't spread ourselves that thin.
Pat Buchanan said he would do something along the lines of remove the troops but keep a peacekeeping force in the Gulf area in case someone tried to come in and take over the oil, an outside party, or someone like Hussein.
See, that's part of the problem. We don't have a vested right to the oil. I know we have an interest in it. We would like it. But, you know, if you have a, you know, pantry full of food, I can't come over there with my guns to protect my interest in your food. And so if we want their oil, we need to be willing to pay for it to avoid war. One of the problems we're in this mess is because the United States government for the last 7 or 8 decades has been subsidizing oil and the automotive industries. If we had not subsidized those industries, the cost of gasoline would have been higher, people would have driven their cars less, ridden their bicycles more, and companies would have come up with other forms of energy, other forms of transportation that were cheaper, cleaner, and more economical.
But couldn't the transition period that we're talking about here kick off a worldwide depression?
Well, again, the worldwide depression is based on what we have kind of done in the past. We have oil in Alaska. We also have huge oil reserves in Mexico, and we are not currently at war with Mexico. We would be able to develop those reserves. But again, just because we want it doesn't give us the authority to go in and take it. America is the most powerful country in the world, but we are limited by the Constitution and by ethics. We're supposed to be moral and demonstrate, you know, peacekeeping tactics rather than going in with 150,000 soldiers, you know, pretending to make the place safer, when in fact, you know, we are there to make sure that we have cheap oil that we can buy. That's not a moral thing. That's not something that I support.
We're speaking with presidential candidate from the Libertarian Party, Michael Bednarik. We'll get some phone calls coming right up here. Michael, the thing that, I mean, I agree with so much of what the Libertarian Party says although there's a couple areas that I find kind of inconsistent. We have we're an international economy. There's no debating that anymore. So if we allow our customers to be engulfed in war, if we just stand by and let that happen, or the flip side of that is we allow our economy, even though we are a strong economy and we can afford immigration, we also have to worry about the aspects of terrorism and just really the I guess tremendous burden on our healthcare system here. And I know that so much of this is detailed in the libertarian platform that we can't get into every little crevice here. But do you see the inconsistencies there? The fact that ironically we're not allowed to go to other parts of the world to protect interests, but we'll allow almost an unfettered immigration.
Well, certainly that is, you know, inconsistent, but that's not the libertarian platform. Libertarians want to eliminate the socialist welfare system. You do not have a right to my property. If you come into my apartment and take $100 for your health care, for your education, for your housing, that's theft. And if you have the government come into my apartment and take that money, that's government-assisted theft. So, you know, with or without an immigration problem, we would eliminate the socialist welfare state. And that would dramatically reduce the number of people who are coming here to live on the government dole. Secondly, we need to be less hypocritical and realize that a lot of people who are coming here are doing jobs that are providing for the economy, and we need those people. The only reason that they are illegal immigrants is because it's easier to swim the Rio Grande than it is to climb the mountain of paperwork. So under a libertarian administration, we would make coming to the United States, you know, legally much easier so that people could do that and to raise their own standard of living. But thirdly, we would use the police or military as appropriate to stop people who were coming across the border, trafficking in human lives. And I'm told even the factions of the Mexican military cross the border, damage property, and kill Americans. That's not acceptable. The purpose of the American government is to protect the lives, liberty, and property of Americans, and it should do so.
All right, let's take a couple phone calls here again with Michael Bednarik, the Libertarian candidate for president 2004. Let's go to Angela. Angela, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning, Angela.
Hi, how are you? I have an interesting question for you. I support and respect all the things that you are saying 100%. But being a person that wants to get Bush out of the White House, I am worried about voting libertarian because the chances historically, of course, of a libertarian winning the election are very slim. Therefore, I feel as though my vote should then go towards the Democratic candidate. And so my question to you is how does the Libertarian Party combat that?
Well, first of all, that whole wasted vote thing is a lie. You have to realize that Bush and Kerry are essentially the same. They will both continue the war. They will both restore the draft. They will both pass unconstitutional laws similar to the Patriot Act. And they will both continue to operate the government at a deficit budget, costing us money and putting our children and grandchildren deeply, deeply into debt.
Michael, isn't that a scare tactic to draft? There's no evidence at all that either side is planning on reinstating the draft.
Oh, that's not true. I've been to California myself, and I saw the Selective Service offices being painted and restaffed. I was in New York City during the time of the Republican National Convention, and I saw propaganda commercials telling young people how easy it is to sign up using the Internet instead of walking all the way down to the post office. If both parties are serious that there is never going to be a draft, then why do we still have the Selective Service Department? Let's eliminate that department because you don't need it.
Angela, what makes you think, you say you're afraid of Bush continuing in office. What is it that Bush will continue that you're afraid of that you elect Kerry, who if you're a libertarian, Kerry is going to spend even more than President Bush most probably?
Well, you know, from my point of view, it's the lesser of two evils. I agree. They are very similar. They are very, very similar. One of my issues with President Bush is the way that he utilizes his religious standpoint to then make decisions within the government. For example, in his dealings with gay marriage, you know, he and John Kerry both have the same views personally, but Bush is using his personal views to try to make changes in our legal system.
Yeah, but you realize there'll never be a constitutional amendment. And you also realize, of course, too, that the Defense of Marriage Act, which was passed overwhelmingly in Congress, both by Democrats and Republicans. So it's not just the Bush administration. You're talking pretty much across the board through government.
And I understand that, but by the same token, I guess I just feel, and I'm, as people call me, I'm a social worker. I'm, you know, as people call social workers tree huggers, you know, I guess I look at it from the standpoint, if someone has that kind of a view and is going to use their personal religious views to make decisions for the entire country, I just have a problem with that in general.
All right, thanks for your call and your comments. I appreciate it.
Picking the lesser of two evils is like picking between arsenic and strychnine and picking which poison you're going to take because it's cheaper.
Yeah.
That's not an acceptable choice.
Let's go to Jake. Jake, you're on BAL with presidential candidate Michael Badnarik.
Yes, I'd just like to say that indeed an honor to speak to you, sir.
Well, thank you very much.
I am indeed voting for you, and it's like a breath of fresh air.
Well, thank you.
And for those people that think it's a wasted vote, just tell them that, like, the definition of insanity is when you keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect a change. Sir, there's going to be a large movement of just voting against the big two parties because it's ridiculous. They do nothing.
It's true. I believe that the Libertarian Party is going to become an overnight success tomorrow, and I appreciate your support.
All right. I guess, you know, Michael, the thing that that concerns me about this, of course, is transition. And in transition, you know, as John Maynard Keynes once said, in the long run, we'll all be dead. You know, I mean, there's an element of this that we have to pay attention to. I agree with much of your platform about social services and welfare and how, in essence, it doesn't help these people. And the generation of welfare families, in fact, hurts them. It hurts our economy. It just helps those political lifelong politicians the political element of that want to stay in power, and they stay in power by these people's dependencies on what they give them, which is money, right?
Right.
Fair enough. But how do we get rid of that in a generation? How do we move through that?
Well, we basically make it so that people don't need the welfare. We are going to dramatically reduce the size of the federal government. The federal government is a parasite on the economy. Every time we create a new federal office, you have to pay for the lights, the air conditioning, the people sitting at the desks. When I reduce the size of the federal government, that will leave billions of dollars in the hands of Americans who will then pay off their credit cards, start spending money. We'll have small businesses springing up to provide new goods and services. The standard of living will increase. Everybody will have more money, and the economy will grow exponentially. The number of people who need welfare will drop nearly to zero.
Do you believe you're going to get more votes from those dissatisfied with President Bush or dissatisfied with Senator Kerry?
I don't care. Every vote that I get is a vote for liberty.
Okay, let's go to Ben. Ben, you're on BAL. Thanks for the call.
Hey, Chip, how you doing today?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. Yeah, I just want to say that I am 100% in support of the Libertarian Party. It's tomorrow's vote is not the lesser of two evils. It's the evil of two lessers. And enough is enough. And, you know, over the past, you know, 1,000 years, ever since governments existed, they've all had three things in common, and that's suppress the value producers, fleece the population, and let everybody that's expendable die off. And I think that the federal government ought to do three things: fix the roads, deliver the mail, and defend the country, and leave the rest up to the state.
Excellent. Well said.
But you got, honestly, you know, I believe in everything you've said, and I've said it a million times, but I don't know if I'm just, you know, pinch me. Am I dreaming? Is this ever going to happen in our lives and in our children's lives? Because
the
we're
first question
you're talking
is,
about
do
just,
you want it to happen?
Of course.
You've got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, then where are you going to start? You keep talking about a transition phase. Why don't we start transitioning tomorrow? Why don't we start transitioning away from
Amen.
The Democrats and Republicans, and we start voting for what we want? If you want liberty, you have to vote for liberty.
Well, and on those words, I'll let you run, sir. Thank you. Again, the book is called, you have a new book out. It's called Good to Be King, Badnarik.com. You can find all the information you want about the Libertarian parties in your area by going on the web and Googling it. There's just a plethora of information. And I guess you're going to be out about today trying to show people why your party is the one for in 48 states. What states are you not in?
Oklahoma and New Hampshire.
Okay. All right. So well, you're on here in Maryland, and folks can make that choice if that's where they want to go. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much for your time.
All right. Bye now. Michael Bednarik in with us, the presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party. I'm kind of curious, do you guys think that this is a little too pie in the sky? Are we too nuts and bolts? Or, I mean, those Bush supporters that heard a lot of that, especially conservatives, kind of interested in your thoughts. It's 9:30, though. Right now, let's go on the news.